Kendra, hi.
Hi, Ken.
Sorry, that sounded so official.
Hi.
I have a new game. It's called New Rules. No one's ever come up with something similar to this. New Rules.
I've honestly never heard something similar to this. So
this actually makes sense because it's a segment on Bill Maher show, your favorite guy. But
oh yeah, Ken, I must have missed that one.
No. Actually, it's funny that I didn't even mean to bring him up, but he did another scumbaggy thing recently. He's really doubling and tripling down.
He's truly a busy scumbag.
Busy little bee. He's a busy little racist bee. But New Rule.
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to stick to high school comedies, teen comedies.
I agree.
Or college comedies.
He's 45,
for the rest of his life. It doesn't matter. Look at that face.
Oh, and actually, you know what? What was that movie where like older dudes go to, there's a million of them, go back to college? So like when he can no longer being a college student, which I think he can do for 10 more years, then he can graduate.
Are you talking about the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School?
Yes.
It's happened a bunch of times. Yeah, sure.
It's a common trope.
Yeah. Yeah, trip.
Even Life of the Party.
I wonder why it's a common trope, because most of these screenwriters are men that haven't grown up.
Just truly dream of having sex in college.
Yes.
Never happened for them the first time, and they're like, second time around.
Kendra, you're hitting a little close to home. Let's move on to this discussion.
Yeah, I think that's a great rule.
And we brought this up because of the latest trailer for the Ted Bundy movie, which, what is that called again? Because it's like 8,000 words?
Yeah, and they're all really positive.
I don't think they are they?
No, they are.
They're it sounds sensationalist.
They're like magnetically dangerous. Oh, I don't even know what it is. Let me look it up because it is truly insane.
Is the end of it like, look at those abs, right? No, yeah, he's in the movie and I didn't even see the trailer. I heard it and the sounds of it made me...
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil.
Yeah, it's sexy. There's nothing sexier than that combination of words.
What? And like, extremely wicked. Wicked's a musical. Wicked's not what happens when you just rape and murder women.
Well, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, wicked, it's like...
I totally know what you mean. Wicked, originally use is totally evil. But at this point in time...
It's just Boston.
It's Boston, and then also wicked. And it sort of has a whimsical feel to it. Like, oh, it's wicked.
Well, witches.
Witches.
And also... Busted. It was probably the first adjective I knew was probably wicked.
Really?
I would use it everywhere.
You know what's funny? It was my first and second. Isn't that weird?
That's wicked hard.
I'm like more Boston than you are, kid. Sorry.
That's true.
Go Pats. But yeah, so he...
So Zac Efron.
Yep.
We're forcing it.
By the way, he's a favorite of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll admit that. I mean, I'll admit it. Kendra will scream it from the mountaintops. I will shamefully...
Speaking of mountaintops, did you know he hiked the Appalachian Trail?
No.
His dad.
Really? Oh, that's so him. It makes me sick.
I know.
No, I will scream it into a dirty hamper in the basement of a very old and damp hotel. You will scream it from the mountaintops for all to hear into a bullhorn or something. Yeah, I don't know how to extend that anymore.
I'll be at... High School Musical, I forget the name of the high school, damn it.
Oh.
But I'm going to be...
I can't help you.
I'm going to be shouting through the Wildcats megaphone.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm going to say, Zac Efron's great! And then everyone's going to sing all the songs.
I truly enjoy a lot of his comedies.
Does this mean I can say my joke again?
Yes, you can.
Oh, shit. I just used a word from the joke. Yeah.
We were wondering why you can't just stick to the movies that we love him for. Like even like Neighbors or 17 Again.
Or, you know, maybe make a sequel, 17 Again.
There it is.
There's the joke.
It really landed, I think.
Yeah, thank you so much for the really good alley-oop scenario.
Well, I was trying,
Was that how you say baseball? Basketball?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's just a baseball thing.
Speaking of basketball.
Yeah. Wait.
No, I was going to do Perry Gilpin.
We have a new title of this show.
No, I was just going to say, Zac Efron played a lot of basketball players in a lot of his things.
Yeah, right.
Can you believe that? Like in 17 Again, he was a basketball...
He doesn't seem to be good.
He's not a super tall dude.
No, I know, but he could still be good.
I know, but in the...
Heightest.
In the movie, High School Musical, like 2 and 3, it was like, he was like, I'm going to like... Everyone was like, every college was trying to get him, and it was just like... He was playing with real basketball players, and it was just like...
What is he, 5'8"? 5'7"?
Yeah, it's just like...
It's
like,
tough. It's tough, but I mean...
Honestly, some... Well, and he was like a forward, like...
Oh, no. Come on.
Like, no, just like...
He's got to be bringing the ball up.
Right, like that's... Well... Not what I would...
Yeah, but he's got to stick to those kind of movies. We want to see more of that. Yes. And only that. And we actually think that this should be a law. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Zac Efron. We control your life now. You make 1.5 movies a year, and they're all revolving around high school.
Sometimes college, if you're lucky.
It's going to get creepy. We've signed off on it. It's okay. Anyway, what do you think? I know you wanted to change the name of this podcast just a second ago to Two mm-hmm. Degrees of Basketball, but actually... It's called 2 Degrees of Perry Gilpin.
Yeah. Okay. I think we should keep it for now.
Okay.
/ forever.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Speaking of Perry Gilpin.
That's what we just did. 4 degrees. 3 degrees. 2 degrees.
Of Perry Gilpin.
So this is the show, 2 Degrees of Perry Gilpin. Every episode we talk about movies and TV.
Kendra, I've been here every time. I know what we're doing. Right. Go ahead.
So we talk about movies and TV. And then at the end, we tie it all back to Perry Gilpin with a beautiful little knot or bow.
Yep. We try to. We don't. Sometimes. But that's okay.
And honestly, most of the times, it's just us forgetting.
Yep.
Usually if we put our heads together, we get it. Get there.
Oh, man. That's teamwork. It feels good to accomplish a goal.
What's good is I just do the anything that is geared towards like young women. Mm. I cover that. That section of like connections.
Yep. And what do I cover?
Anything that has any clout.
Oh wow. I thought you were gonna say something insulting.
No, I was not going to
This is clout with a K, right? Remember that clout score thing?
We're really talking about our Twitter clout.
I do have a lot of clout. I follow 900 people. I have 100 followers. 50 of them are bots. And I never tweet.
He sounds great.
Reach out if you want my influence. All right? It's there. Ready for the taking.
So, we have this is going to be our British episode. Just because we both consumed a lot of British content lately.
Well, I consumed one thing.
A long time ago.
And then you consumed 1,000 things.
Yeah, I know. I'm very...
A long time ago? No, I just finished.
You just finished Killing Eve?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
just
sorry.
Like the last
to me,
week.
Weeks or years.
Just
so.
Like a last week.
It's the British episode.
I did. I was Try up. I watched the first 5 or 6 episodes really quickly. And then the last couple, I kind of spread them out.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the show Killing Eve. We're also going to talk about Sex Ed, or we're also going to compare it a little bit to The Bodyguard. Then we're also going to talk about my new favorite show, Sex Education. And then I have a little.
Well, wait. Let's wait on Sex Education because I would like to watch that. Give me a little time.
No. I'm just going to give like a quick like why people should watch it.
Sure. Yeah. Like a little.
It's a British day. Did you not hear about the British day?
We talk about British stuff a lot. We still haven't watched Tea with Dames. So guess what? There's going to be another British day. All right. The British
have like that. We're just sorting our days by where things come from.
It's a smallish island country, but they have a lot of influence in pop culture.
They put a lot of work in.
A lot of Americans love them. A lot of them people love them. British people love British things.
Yeah, that's what one of the little...
I guess them people probably should stay away from that. But I was just talking about the British, so it's okay.
Okay, so I finally watched Killing Eve. I felt like I meant to watch it forever because it is created by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge,
yeah. Just one.
Sorry, but there's also Phoebe Bridges.
Well, there's Jeff Bridges.
No, who's the other person that I'm thinking about?
There's Phoebe Bridgers, who's a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, that's so complicated.
That the Bridgers thing always confuses
me. Yeah, well,
but actually,
it just made
it
me just
anymore.
Say, like, Phoebe Waller.
Do you? But do you know about Phoebe Bridgers?
Enough to hear her name enough because of you.
Have I brought her up?
Yes, like tons of times.
Well, she's great. she's great. She's in a band called Boy Genius. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to try and say the other names because I'm
if
forgetting.
If you Google Phoebe.
Yeah.
She's the second one to come up, and every time I'm like,
and then she just put out. They just put out a surprise album with Conor Oberst, actually.
Wow,
called Something Something Something.
That sounds really good. Yeah. Is that a joke title?
No, it's like, no, sorry. It's called like Community Oblivion.
Oh, yeah. It's actually Society called Extremely Wicked and Dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. That's, it's the soundtrack to that movie.
Yeah, sounds good.
Anyway. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, our fave. Another fave of the show. In fact, I think she ranks higher than Zac Efron.
No way. I think she's neck and neck. Neck and neck? I think the number one thing I would want to do.
How dare you?
I would want to watch them together in an interview.
They're neck and neck, right? But then she kind of, you kind of look like her, right? I don't look like him. And in fact, his face makes me angry. So that's where they break.
I love him.
I like him.
Okay.
But his face is very well constructed and that angers me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We just have to be honest here.
I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge and we've talked much about how great she is. But so this is, it's got Sandra Oh in it.
Yep. Who's won awards for it.
Yeah. Who is fantastic in it. Who hosted the Golden Globes and then got an award.
Which actually, can I talk about that briefly? Yeah. I actually liked that hosting job. People said it was awkward. Really, I think it's fine. Why does it have to not be awkward? Why are people so afraid of awkwardness? It's insane to me. Of course it's awkward. Two dopes are coming out to introduce dumb awards. Like,
I also, that is, that is one of the shows where I think the mixing was kind of messed up.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
It just, like, the sound, it really proves to you how important sound is, so that, like, if you can't hear things, like Ken putting the glass down on
granite.
It's actually marble. Anyway, you can, it's so important. And it seemed like no one in the room could hear them.
Yeah.
And it seemed like you could barely hear them regular. Like, it just, there was weird interactions between the audience. The fact that we could hear, what's her face, apologize for Aloha.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you know actually the sound was messed up, because, like,
you shouldn't.
That was really loud. Right.
We actually, I was watching a basketball game with our neighbor friend, Brian, and our other friend, Benjamin, last night, and you couldn't hear the announcers as well as you could hear some of the fans. And it was funny, you could hear people like talking about, like, oh yeah, I got this hot dog, it's pretty good, like, and then you couldn't hear like what they were saying about what was happening on the thing. It was pretty funny.
I got ketchup, but the mustard here, and then really thinking, adequate.
What if selection. We like started talking about like personal stuff, and then you come back and someone's like, we could hear you the entire time, Jim. What do you have to say for yourself?
But
I thought she was great on that. It obviously wasn't the smoothest. Sometimes you see a host.
We're talking about the Golden Globes.
And they knock it out of the park and everything works. And that's a great thing too. But like,
I kind of appreciate this style.
I liked it. She's great. Who, do you know the name of the,
I don't, I was hoping you would
know.
Of the
assassin. And I've looked it up a bunch of times and I don't know. And I'm going to look it up now as you talk about the show.
So it is about, a lady assassin, female assassin, who's really good at murdering. And Sandra Oh is kind of in a different part of the government. Like, kind of like
MI5, police, which is defense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they...
She gets a promotion to MI6. Well, I mean, she does because she starts managing people. But it's not really a promotion because all of her friends and family die. That's not true.
No, but it is basically this thing where, like, now you won't be protected, but you're doing what you want to do. Which, for her, she had an interest in... she could kind of,
like,
sense...
female criminals.
Which I think, specifically, she could sense that this was one person. And she was like, I need to know. I want to find out who this is. And we need to track this person down.
Yeah.
And it ends up being our assassin. Yeah. Whose name I'm looking up right now.
Yeah. And, yeah, she puts in a lot of work. A lot of boards with a string, it seems.
Jodie Comer.
Cool.
Yep. And you know what? I was talking with someone about this show, and her opinion was that Sandra Oh, while good, wasn't really the best part of the show. It was Jodie Comer.
Yeah, I thought she was...
Which I think I can see, but I do think she has the easier part.
Yeah. You know? Was definitely a role that
not
was
the,
like,
easier part, but I just mean you can take a bite out of that part. She's supposed to play like a crazy, smart, kick-ass assassin. And it's like, I could see someone just being like, oh, I'm going to have fun with this.
Right, yeah.
And... I don't know. But yeah, she's great. So what are your thoughts on the show?
So it really made me think about The Bodyguard. Because these are actually really, just because they're both British and the style that they are is similar. and it's an 8-episode arc, all featuring suspense. Like, I don't know. I think there was a lot that was similar.
I've seen multiple people on Twitter recommend both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Here's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I think one thing that I did not enjoy about Killing Eve, I really like Killing Eve. It sucked me in. I really liked Sandra Oh's character just because it felt, I think it was important. Something that, say, a show like The Bodyguard didn't have was like a character you could really be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Even though she was nuts and made some crazy person decisions.
Yeah.
In The Bodyguard, like, he's making crazy decisions and also the stakes are super high and like you don't even understand. You don't relate to one person in the thing. Yeah. And that's okay because it's that type of show. It's like, I'm not a security guard.
Well, I think that's the main difference between the shows. Like, one is like heightened. The other one is sort of taking a heightened thing and making it more casual or relatable. Like, we're almost like on Killing Eve, right? We're almost like taken along and it's like, they're doing kind of crazy things and they're like trying to track down this international assassin and you're still feeling like, oh yeah, this is just a
day at the office.
Quick flight to Moscow to meet this one guy and have dinner and like, you know, it's not, it's all very played.
And it's funny because Sandra was definitely living some like dream fulfillment things where she's like,
ooh,
I get to like now travel for my job. And it's like, you know, she had a little bit more of a paperwork type job before. And then it's like, oh my God. And there's like a level of excitement that she has that is just very sweet. But in The Bodyguard, I thought that it was wrapped up more cleanly in a way that I appreciated a lot. And keep in mind, I watched 7 episodes of The Bodyguard and then waited a full month to watch the last episode.
Well, I heard the last episode did a lot.
It did so much and it resolved everything. My biggest fear was that how it would have ended would be how the show actually did end.
Mm.
But luckily I didn't do a big gap, so it wouldn't have crushed me.
Oh no.
But it was like, because I think this show, it kind of ends very like, huh?
I think the difference is I think that this show was very much written so that they could have a second season or series, whatever you want to call it, Brits. whereas I think that The Bodyguard, they could probably do it again, but I think it was more, it seemed more contained. I haven't seen it though.
I have
just the feeling I'm getting.
No, that's exactly. And everything was done to fulfill the ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was all like, it was building upon itself, but it was all like, and then we conclude. And that felt really good. And that's actually something that I think that I really appreciate about a lot of British things is they are less like us in a lot of ways, even just in how their contracts work for actors.
Mm.
Like, at least previously, you couldn't be like, sign this and agree to do 25 seasons, which is something we do here all the time.
Yeah.
And people are just stuck in these contracts.
Right.
Whereas there's a little bit more freedom and you'll just find that like, so on a show, like even like Downton Abbey, it could have ended at any point. Actors kind of could leave,
mm-hmm.
even though that one was one that had deeper negotiations because it was the first like, holy crap, this is so popular.
Right.
I don't know. I just think it's interesting because I think that it was designed for, I think Killing Eve was designed for an American audience.
Yeah.
Like completely from the beginning.
Which is why I like it more than you do because I'm a real American and you, for some reason.
I'm always swimming across the pond. Bringing back my tea.
Yeah, you're always bringing back your tea.
I'm always like, sorry for dumping this.
What?
It was like a...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, but...
that was some Revolution jokes just a couple years too late.
I enjoyed Killing Eve. I didn't... it didn't blow me away.
Interesting.
But it got me to watch the whole thing, which is hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm great at quitting on shows. I did... thoroughly enjoy watching the two main leads. I want to see more from them.
Yeah.
Like, so that's
where
they got me.
Well, that's the other thing is, I'm looking forward. I think more seasons will be great.
Yeah, it might even be like this season was like, okay, a good setup, and then the second season's like on point.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of wonder, like, what are you trying to get out of the show, right? Like, I think that almost immediately you're kind of set up with the fact that Sandra is not all that, like... not all that happy in her first job and gets a job that excites her a lot. Maybe not all that happy in her marriage to this guy who seems kind of great, but also like we've been told that she kind of finds him boring.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, you know,
really nice.
They're planting the seeds of that.
Yeah.
And then you can tell pretty early on, like there's something about this that she finds kind of sexy.
Yeah.
You know? And then they immediately undercut that with a real event that hits. It's a tragedy, right? Mm-hmm. And then they build off of that. I liked that structure. I didn't know if they could build back from that moment. I don't want to give mm-hmm. it away. But I thought they did. And I actually liked the ending. I thought it all worked, but not in a great way. Like, I thought it was like, okay.
Like, this, it all technically worked.
This worked. Like, they did it, but it didn't. Like, the first couple episodes, I feel like I was more like, oh, I'm getting to know these characters. I'm really into it.
Yeah.
And then as it went along, I was like, okay, I like this and this, but I'm not like, I guess the more of it was like the plot at some point. Once everyone kind of knew who was involved, like everyone on both sides knew everyone involved, it wasn't exciting to me anymore. It was almost like they were trying to fill in certain things. Mm-hmm. But still, within episodes, there was some fun.
Yeah.
A little back and forth. And overall, definitely recommend it. I think the second season is going to be better.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee. I can't. I'm not working on it. I have no insight. Yeah. Can. I think they've filmed it already. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
I think probably the thing that I liked the most about it, which is not to say anything bad about the whole show, because I really liked the whole show, but the thing I liked most about it was the assassin's apartment.
Oh, yeah.
That's just me saying how much I loved that apartment.
The refrigerator that only had champagne in it?
Yeah.
We know you and champagne. Ooh. Oh, my God, the bubbly for Kendra. Nonstop. It's actually a problem.
No, I just thought it was...
No. It's in Paris.
It was a very nice apartment. Yeah. And I just wanted very high ceilings. A little bit... Some stylistic similarities to this room.
I wanted to know more about her neighbors in there, too. We kind of got around a little bit, but yeah. I liked that
also,
whole thing.
Also, she at one point gets balloons, and you're like, she has the fanciest freaking balloons.
Oh, yeah.
They were, like, the round ones that just, like, smell like money. I've actually never seen one in person, but, like, I see them in movies, and I'm like, it's like European version
I've never
balloons.
Heard your balloon theory before. What? You have thoughts on balloons like this?
Oh, my God. You haven't... We haven't watched Up together.
You meet a balloon and you smell it. You're like, let me smell you balloon, because I want to know how high quality you are.
You saw what those balloons look like. Okay, so you know how normal balloons are like ovals?
Yeah.
These balloons were like perfect circles.
I don't remember these balloons. I didn't want to admit it, but...
Maybe they were like Mylar balloons. Like, I have no idea. And then they had ribbons tied around them instead, but like fancy silk ribbons.
Mylar balloon. What's Mylar?
No, I don't know.
Isn't that the shiny stuff?
No, okay, it wasn't that. I just meant like it has a space balloon element to it because it's so circular.
Yeah, this is crazy.
You're like not joking.
I'm not.
You don't even remember it.
I don't remember the what's the scene. And also, I'm also impressed. You're this passion for balloons.
It's not
I love
passion
it.
For balloons. It's a passion for like. An aesthetic.
I'm actually starting to wonder if you might have a problem with the latest Mary Poppins. As we discussed, there's a balloon part. I don't know if these balloons will be up to snuff for you.
Actually, I think they probably... Are they full circular balloons? Or are they like modern day...
Kendra, this is what I'm telling you. I don't pay attention. I'm sorry.
This man's never seen a balloon in his life. When he looks at balloons, he just sees fuzz.
Well, sometimes I'm not mindful of balloons.
The point is, they're really nice balloons, and there's literally silk ribbon tied around the, like, because you know how normally it's like, you tie it, a regular balloon, a cheap plebeian balloon, you just tie it, and you just put that little, like, weird ribbon that you can curl. Oh,
thank God. You had a piece of your hair that was, like, on your lip for, like, so long there, and I was like, when is this thing going to fall out of there?
It did. Okay. And then... She had balloons that looked like they were like...
Oh, you're still on the balloons thing, huh? I thought you were going to move on. I will say this. You seem hesitant to criticize the show at all because of your girl. Oh, yeah. Our girl.
Yeah.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. but you can do that. She puts out a lot of content. You love Fleabag.
I loved Fleabag.
You like... Your number one movie ever was Solo. A Star Wars story.
Yeah, that's actually equivalent.
What else she worked
that
on?
That is very equivalent to how I felt when Dylan O'Brien's voice went away. Was actually when I saw that movie, I saw it for her in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like, I can't wait to support Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah. And then I mean, like she was in it a good amount, but didn't have that many lines and was a robot the whole time.
And then they snuff her out, right?
Jesus, yeah.
It's been out for a while.
Can't be a
no
robot.
No one cares about that movie.
No, I wasn't saying that. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, hard being a robot with a voice these days.
They legitimately love killing robots in the Star Wars.
Yeah, and movies. In Transformers. They love taking away their ability to speak.
And in Blade Runner.
Oh my God.
Robots are people too.
Agreed. Okay, so then I just want to do a quick recommendation. Ken's going to watch it. It's probably not he's not going to watch it for a couple weeks from now. So just be aware that this could be on the agenda later.
Yep. Be aware.
Well, just I don't want them rushing out to watch Sex
Never
Education.
Lose sight of the fact that I will be watching the show at some point.
Okay, it's called Sex Education. It's a really sweet show about this kid who plays like a he's like a sex therapist in his high school. And so like all
because
the kids,
of his parents, right?
Because well, his mom is actually I guess his dad is too, but his dad is not in the movie really.
Okay.
But his mom is a sex therapist.
It's a show, by the way. Just wanna you said movie. Just wanna
Oh yeah.
Just wanna make that clear.
But I watched it so fast it felt like a movie. the show, she's a sex therapist. She is also Gillian Anderson.
Fuck.
She's British. Who knows? Point is, she's great.
Wait, is she really British? I thought she was like actually like American, but she's been in Britain for so long that she seems. I'm gonna look it up. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Kids in his high school are like, oh my god! Just tell me if she's British or not.
Oh, that's you can't not think of that now. She was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, to British parents.
English, German, and Irish ancestry, kind of like me, actually. Mm. Hmm.
Wow.
She was born to Rosemary Alice, a computer analyst, and Homer Edward Anderson III, who owned a film post-production company.
Huh.
We can stop now. Her love of theater took her to the National Theater of Great Britain's summer acting program, held at Cornell University in New York. All right, let's move.
Okay, that's so her, she's that's super not British, but she's from Chicago, so she gets it.
That's bullshit, by the way. What? Great Britain, and then it's like New York. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
There's a little curve there.
Yeah, that was rude. Anyway, so she is a sex therapist. Her son, who's an actor who's been in like everything.
Yeah?
He's like
well known?
He's like in Ender's Game.
Is it Dylan O'Brien?
No.
He was in Ender's Game.
I think he's the main character in Ender's Game.
Ender's Game.
I can't wait to find out that that's not what he's in.
I think you're right. And I don't know how to say his name.
I've
always hated it.
Wait, can I see it?
Yeah. He was in Hugo.
Asha something?
It's Asa Butterfield.
Asa Butterfield, Asa, yeah.
Asa?
It's Asa.
Okay. He is British, by the way.
Yeah.
No fear.
Should we finish off on our final British note?
Yeah, I mean, it's all you.
Okay, this is all me. But it's really all our friend Carrie, who... It lives in England, and therefore...
She's becoming British as we speak.
She's, like, I hear it in her, the thing she says.
She's even become a brawler, right?
She's a bit of a brawler. But she is... She recommended the show. I believe it's called Small Spaces, Big Dreams, or it might be called Big Dreams, Small Spaces. Either way, the British are terrible at naming things. And this actually works into my larger thesis about how, like... What, like, I think sex... Education is like the worst title for something I've ever heard.
Really?
I don't like that title. I think they go too hard.
It's pretty simple though. I don't. That one I don't mind as much as like a scrotal recall.
Yeah, scrotal right? recall is really bad. I just think that like, yeah, okay, it's Big Dreams, Small Spaces. Okay, but so the general premise is Monty Don, who is like apparently super famous in England, but like never heard of him, and he's a gardener. He's like a
horticulturalist. Please.
I'm sorry. He's a horticulturalist. And he is famous. And people are like, so it's usually like people, that's him. And everyone's like, okay. So he goes to people's houses and helps them, but not even really. He's like never there. It's actually like a Marie Kondo style. Have you watched any of that?
No, I refuse.
It's like, I think it's one of those things where it's like someone has you, they come to visit and they're like, so this is your thing. And then they tell him their plan. And then he's like, I would just change these two things. And then he comes back like one other time and like helps them like move a tree or something. Yeah. And then he like comes back at the end and is like, great job. Or he's like, I can really see. And he does these little things like at the end where he's like,
does he ever?
He'll be like, what is amazing is these two sisters, they came with a vision. And what they left with is something greater than any of us can believe. A love of gardening. And you're like, okay, my man. Like, he
oh
always,
my God.
But also, it's amazing because you can kind of tell that, like, what I appreciate about this British reality show is it feels low budget in a way that I love, which is just like, I do think that, like, even in like America, our home and garden shows, they're really shiny.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell. And it makes it so that, like shows like House Hunters, like, it's all fake because, like, you can't actually get the house, whatever. None of this is fake.
Is it like this old house still good? I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, I mean, but great. That's like a PBS show. Like, no, they were never going to lie.
Yeah, okay.
Right. PBS,
it's a great show.
It is a great show. Yeah. Now I have the Antiques Roadshow stuck in my head because they really went back to back.
You're really jumping around here.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the Antiques Roadshow?
No. I refuse. No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to keep saying I refuse to watch these shows when I don't.
You don't even. So anyway, you can watch that on Netflix. Highly recommend.
Yep. About Marty Don. Episodes. That's actually his name.
It's not. It's Monty Don, but I did think it was Marty Don.
Oh, yeah,
earlier.
That's right. Monty Don. Monty Don.
It's such a crazy name. And then everyone just thinks he's like so hot in this show. That's the best part, is everyone just being like really attracted to him.
Monty.
Just the whole time. They're just like, oh, I have a bit of a crush on Monty Don. And you're like, oh.
I just think the name Monty gets all
that's
these all these British ladies Randy.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not just
the, Randy. Do you not like that? Yeah. Oh, I hate it too.
It's all,
I'll say things that I hate just because I know you hate them. This is a sacrifice
you
I make.
Win, yeah. But all of the men and women are all attracted to him.
Where do you fall in the word horny?
Bad.
Do you like hate it?
Yeah, I hate all of it.
Like all, like everything.
Anything sexual. I'm from New England, so I don't like
it. But you like sex education.
Right, which is the reason I don't like the title is I'm like, stop it.
You think they should just call it education? You did say it was over the top, and it's just called sex education.
No.
Wow, we didn't even talk about that when you said it. That is so true. Wow, you are repressed.
Also, I will say that one other negative thing about the show is it starts out with like an absurd sex scene.
Okay.
Which I do just like, it reminds me, it's like an American Pie style of like making things. What? You just start with something where you're like, it's going to be this type of movie.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Set the tone.
Yeah, but it's not like that type of show. That's why I think it's like too much of a curveball.
Okay. And by the way, I just said you were repressed. I want to say that I as well am repressed. I didn't want to make it like me pointing fingers.
Yeah, thanks.
We're in this together. We're in this together, New England.
Repression and depression.
Yeah. Together. What a nice little melange of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I think we nailed this episode. I'm feeling so good, especially the last part.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Where we really got into it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Did some good work.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank everyone for listening. We've hit, last month was our top listens ever.
Like, yeah.
It was very good.
Very good.
That's what we're going to say. Maybe check our Instagram to see the number.
Yeah, maybe. Wink. Kendra's winking at me right now. I don't know why.
I also feel like that's bad because now everyone's going to think it's a really high number and then they're going to check the Instagram and be like, oh, pretty good.
I am proud of this number.
Me too.
Yep. In fact, I don't want anyone else. I don't want more people listening. I love this number and this number alone. I don't want more than this.
Yeah. So everybody, you can never stop and you also need to continue.
Right. Never stop. Keep continuing.
Don't tell any of your
friends. That sounds like a British show.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. Next time, we're probably going to talk about The Mummy and also The Mummy.
Yep. Mummy and, Squared.
Yeah. Mummy 1999. Mummy 2018.
That's actually going to be hard for me to do, but we'll get it done.
We're going to squeeze it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.